The saying comes from Herodotus, but we all know how it goes. U.S. postal workers are supposed to persevere through snow, rain, heat, and gloom of night. The creed doesn't say anything about a $100 million deficit. Business for the U.S. Postal Service started slowing down with the rise of FedEx and UPS, and since email and electronic bill pay became standard, the organization has been hemorrhaging money. Yesterday, the Postal Service defaulted on a debt of $5.5 billion, and there's another $5 billion payment coming due in September, and the office says it can't pay that either. But all of these issues could go away, according to the postmaster, if the House of Representatives would stay for a single vote before their recess, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Joining us now is Don Soifer, Executive Director of the Consumer Postal Council. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Celeste.
Let's first explain to people what exactly this means. We're talking about a pension debt. This is not going to affect people's mail service, right, Don?
Right. The mailman is going to show up tomorrow, and the mailman is going to show up the day after that. None of this is going to affect the daily operations of the Postal Service for now.
And yet, there's still this debt due to the U.S. Treasury, and I want to be absolutely clear on exactly what's going on here, because we've also reported on this program about a surplus in the pension program. How can they have both a surplus and a default on a debt for the same pension?
Okay, well, the surplus is pretty controversial, and pretty reasonable people, all of whom are economists, disagree on whether there's a surplus and to what tune. So leaving that aside for a moment, in 2006, Congress, in its infinite wisdom, decided in its last round of postal reform to require the Postal Service to pay $5.5 billion a year for 10 years as a mandatory prepayment for its retiree health care benefits. And this is actually not this year's payment. This is last year's payment. So the Postal Service had a $5 billion operating deficit last year that did not include the $5.5 billion it was supposed to pay, because that's the money that it was supposed to pay yesterday.
And they have another one coming due in September that they can't pay. But as you say, they're a prepayment. So what if, like every other governmental organization, they weren't having to prepay their pension?
That's right. So if they didn't have to prepay their pension, and that's one of the focuses of the legislation that passed the Senate, then, well, the Postal Service still would have lost $5 billion last year, and the postal economics is still in the same shape, and it's still a poor connection to the current postal business plan, which is just badly broken no matter how you look at it, but it would have provided that relief. Now, these are prepayments, and it's highly unusual to have prepayments for benefits like this, whether in the public or in the private sector. But the reality of it is the postal workforce is graying. Many of the postal workers who are leaving are retiring. So sooner or later, in this age of diminishing mail volume and diminishing revenues that the Postal Service is getting from mail volume, these are no longer going to be future payments, and they're going to have to find a way to pay for that one way or another, or there's going to be an awful lot of unhappy retirees.
There has to be reform no matter what. Don Soifer with the Executive Director of the Consumer Postal Council. So what we're talking about in terms of simple solutions from Congress is just this prepayment, the default that occurred yesterday from the Postal Service. In terms of broader reforms to address what the things I mentioned earlier, email, electronic bill pay, that's a much more complicated proposition. Is there legislation that addresses that, how to keep a postal service for all areas of the country, whether it be a city or a rural area, without going into debt for this postal service?
You know, the legislation that passed the Senate would have allowed the Postal Service to cancel Saturday delivery, or it still might, but that's about as bold as the reform gets when it comes to taking on the fundamental question of how to realign the business plan of the U.S. Postal Service to match this new role that it plays in our lives and in the role that it was originally conceived to serve. There's certainly no consensus, and there really is not very much going on Capitol Hill that's going to get us to whatever it is where we need to be.
You must have thought about this a lot, Don. What do you think is the solution here?
Well, realistically, right, the business plan is badly broken, and any solution is going to have to address both the cost and the revenue side. So on the cost side, Congress is going to have to stop being part of the problem and find ways to allow the Postal Service to cut its costs to match its business plan in the ways that it feels make sense. But on the other side, the revenue side, we have this massive infrastructure around the United States, around the Postal Service. We have more post offices than McDonald's, Starbucks, and Walmart's combined. We need to find ways to leverage that infrastructure to gain new revenue one way or the other, or the plan just isn't going to work.
And therefore, you think we should, it sounds like you're suggesting we should get rid of these physical locations and have more of the business transacted either online or in maybe kiosks.
Sure. Now, whenever there are lists kicking around about what post offices to close, and Congress hates that.
Yeah.
Congress hates to let a post office go in its own district. But they tend to be the really small rural post offices that don't ultimately realize a lot of savings anyway. It needs to be broader than that. It needs to include large mail sorting facilities. It needs to have freedom to negotiate these contracts. In the first place, whatever Congress does, it was the Postal Service that got into these contracts. They are rigid contracts. It makes it very difficult to switch jobs or move within the Postal Service if you do stay on the payroll. These are all big questions that have to get resolved one way or the other, and probably soon.
There's another big question floating around, Don, which is, do we still need the Postal Service? Should we have a central location where people go to pick up their mail?
Well, Celeste, there's no doubt that the fundamental role that the Postal Service plays is dramatically different than what Ben Franklin conceived when this was all about making for a more informed electorate, which is certainly a good thing, or even that Richard Nixon was thinking about in 1971 when he signed the Postal Reform Act. The vast majority of the mail now is business mail. It's advertising mail. It's financial services. It's bank statements. It's things like that that – at the end of the day, how much difference would it really make in our lives if we gave up one day a week for Saturday delivery? Now, the business mailers say that would make a big difference, and they oppose it dramatically. There's a lot of people that use the mail to get their medications, and that would certainly be a problem. But I do think that it's time to fundamentally rethink this and find ways, because Americans do want to keep the Postal Service, and they tell postals again and again that they want to keep it as part of the government. So what are the new terms of a new postal monopoly that would work within that new role?
And new terms, of course, would hopefully keep them from, as the latest estimate is, hemorrhaging $25 million per day.
Yeah, it could, unless Congress steps up and resolves this, we could really be looking at math that turns into a Detroit-sized auto bailout very quickly that could come down on the heads of the taxpayers. So one way or another, we have to find a way to avoid that.
Don Soifer is Executive Director of the Consumer Postal Council. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
As you just heard Don say, most people say they wouldn't mind getting rid of their Saturday service. What do you think? Do you need your Saturday service? Would you miss getting your mail over the weekend? 877-8-MY-TAKE or post your comment to thetakeaway.org.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.